UK government might have shut down?
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Folks, coming up next on News One Now, moral leaders go to Capitol Hill to make it clear they want the Affordable Care Act to be proper for Americans, but not what the Republicans are putting on the table. We'll talk with Reverend Dr. William Barber, as well as other pastors, plus Congresswoman Robin Kelly, about the efforts today on Capitol Hill. Senate Democrats try to pin President Trump's Supreme Court nominee down on a range of issues. Did Neil Gorsuch's answers yield any clues what kind of Supreme Court justice he would be? We'll break that down as well. Philadelphia's first black DA, Seth Williams, has been hit with federal corruption charges alleging everything from bribery to extortion. We'll bring you the details. Plus, musician Wyclef Jean found himself in handcuffs early Tuesday morning in L.A. We'll tell you why LAPD screwed up. Plus, Reggie Bythewood, actor Stephon James, discussed the new Fox TV show Shots Fired. Plus, it's Wild Night Wednesday. Now, comedians are in the house for a little fun. It's time to bring the funk on News One Now on TV One.
We had a great meeting, and I think we're going to get a winner vote.
I'm not quite sure here, folks, because what you're seeing here is that Republicans right now could very well lose in the House when it comes to their replacement and repeal plan for the Affordable Care Act. That was President Donald Trump yesterday leaving a meeting with lawmakers on Capitol Hill where he actually threatened the Freedom Caucus by saying, if you vote against this bill, we're going to lose seats and I might campaign against you. GOP leaders made changes in the bill in hopes of winning conservative support. The biggest changes are repealing the Affordable Care Act's taxes this year instead of next, and also giving states more flexibility on Medicaid. The big vote will take place tomorrow in the House, but again, as of right now, it doesn't look like this is going to pass. And also, Senate Republicans have already said that bill, if it is passed, is dead on arrival. But today, hundreds of faith leaders will be holding a moral march and rally on Capitol Hill to save the Affordable Care Act and to put pressure on Republicans when it comes to this particular bill. Leading that charge, we have those pastors with us. Reverend Dr. William J. Barber, the president of the North Carolina NAACP. Joining with him, Reverend Jennifer Butler, founding CEO of Faith in Public Life. Reverend William H. Lamar, the fourth pastor of Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Church. Also, Illinois Congresswoman Robin Kelly. She's the chair for the Congressional Black Caucus's Health Brain Trust. Folks, you bring these moral leaders here, but here's what I find to be interesting, Reverend Barber. I'll start with you. I recall hearing the likes of Mike Murdoch and Paula White and James Robinson, all of these white evangelicals throwing their support to Donald Trump in the campaign. Mm-hmm. I've heard them say nothing about health care for Americans.
And that's really the heresy of not only the white evangelical, but the black ones that have joined in with it, too. That's why I'm here today with Repairers of the Breach and with my good friend Jennifer Butler. The eerie silence, if the scriptures speak to anything, it's about health care, how you treat the poor, how you treat the least of these. Isaiah 10, woe unto those who legislate evil, rob the poor of their rights, and make children and women their prey, caring for the sick. Now, here we have a situation where millions of people will be not only taken off health care, but will die. And you have silence. If we were talking about attacking the LGBT community, you would have it, all of them raising. But they went to the Trump Tower, they bowed down to the altar of greed, and they really gave up whatever credibility they had. That's why moral leaders have to stand up. Dr. King said, of all of the issues, health care, denial of health care is the most, and I want to use this word, the most evil. And right now, Roland, I was thinking about the poor people that are going to be hurt. But then if you cut $800 and some odd billion from Medicaid, African Americans, this is a civil rights issue, are going to be hurt disproportionately, because particularly in the South, 50% of the people on Medicaid are African American. Mm-hmm. If you put a work requirement on it in states that have high unemployment rates of African American, we're going to be hurt disproportionately. So this is, to not be engaged in this fight, I will say it clearly on your show, is a form of theological malpractice and heresy. Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, what I find to be interesting also is that when you look at this battle that is taking place here, you have Republican governors who are pushing back hard against House Republicans. You have former Governor Jan Brewer in Arizona. You got Governor John Kasich in Ohio. You have the governors in North Carolina as well, because they understand the impact of these Medicaid changes.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because it also goes to your question to Reverend Barber and what Reverend Barber so eloquently said. We have, at Faith in Public Life, we have a van of clergy from Ohio who are driving in from the state of Ohio, because our pastors and our communities in Ohio have seen the impact that the Affordable Care Act did have on Ohio, and the numbers of Ohioans who have benefited from that bill who now have health care because faith leaders actually fought for that bill and got that bill, and millions of people have benefited as a result. And we have Adventist pastors right now driving in to meet with their senator from Ohio and begging that this bill today not go through Congress, because people will die as a result. This is a matter of life and death for our congregations. One of our pastors is on the hilltop in Columbus, Ohio, and his people will simply die if this bill passes. So Republican governors fought for this. They know that this will hurt their people. They are opposing the Ryan Trump health care bill. It is not a health care bill. I must say, it is a death bill. And we cannot allow this bill to pass today.
Congresswoman Kelly, when you look at this, look at this bill, conservatives don't like it. And so it's interesting that if the most conservative House Republicans stop this, they don't have a plan B.
Right, but I don't know if the conservative Republicans want a plan B. You know, they talked a lot about repeal, but there hadn't always been a lot of talk about replace. Donald Trump talked about that, but I haven't heard a lot of conservatives talk about that. Remember, we voted 65 times to repeal, but there was never anything to replace it with.
Reverend Lamar, when you look at, again, what's going to take place here in Washington, D.C., there's going to be a lot of trading back and forth. It's interesting because Trump trashed a lot of the negotiations that took place in 2009 when it came to the Affordable Care Act.
I think the first thing, Roland, is the speaker has called this bill an act of mercy. Mm. So to take something so death-dealing, so awful for members of our nation across racialized lives, and then the language that is used, whenever the president says Obamacare, it's with a viciousness, with a vitriol, and it marries economic issues that have white folks afraid with the fear of blackness and with a racialized politics that goes back to the Southern strategy. So again, people are blinded by race so much so that they are willing to trash their own economic interests and their own ability to care for themselves. And this is something that must be disaggregated.
And the reality, Reverend Barber, the people who are going to be most impacted by this bill will be the states that voted for Trump. West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, those states.
North Carolina, even though he didn't win down ballot because we had a movement there. In North Carolina, for instance, let me just say, the people are not going to die. People are dying because of the over 20 states that denied Medicaid expansion. Now, 6 out of 10 black folk live in those states, but the majority of the people that are being hurt are white. For instance, in my state, they denied 500,000, 346,000 rolling are white. Poor whites. Mm-hmm. And if they pass this, the very people that voted for Trump will be hurt. Not only that, in my state alone, we would have 43,000 more jobs. Mm-hmm. We've not had that because of the denial of Medicaid expansion. So if you take away Medicaid expansion, then block grant Medicaid, and then cut money to Medicaid, give that money to the wealthy, it's just going to be more hurt, more pain, more death.
And Congresswoman, what do you want folks to be doing now before tomorrow's vote?
We want them to call, write, fax, protest, go to their member's office, bring the phones off the hook, everything they can possibly do so their voices can be heard. You know, so their representative will know that 2018 there will be a price to pay.
Reverend Butler, what time is the rally today on Capitol Hill?
The rally today is at 1 o'clock. Bring your Bibles, bring your health care stories. We are going to Speaker Ryan's office,
great,
and we are going to leave those Bibles in front of his office to distribute to House members. They need to know their scripture. They need to know what their holy texts say. They have forgotten the Word of God.
All right, folks, we certainly appreciate it. And I would say give him hell, but your pastor's here.
Give him heaven.
Yeah, give him heaven.
We're going to raise some hell. I'm saying that on a national. And it's the Trump Ryan take care away bill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's
or
what this is.
Bill.
Or death bill. Trump Ryan death bill or Trump Ryan take care away. Do not call it the American,
health.
No, we're not using that. We're not using that language.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they did rename the Affordable Care Act, so I guess y'all can do the same thing.
Exactly.
We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you much.
Folks, day two of the Senate Judiciary Committee's confirmation hearings for Supreme Court Justice nominee Neil Gorsuch took a decidedly testy turn. Democrats on the committee grilled Gorsuch about his judicial independence from President Trump, as well as issues ranging from voting rights to workers' rights. But he sidestepped the questions, insisting that he would be impartial if confirmed to the Supreme Court.
And I'm heartened by the support I have received from people who recognize that there's no such thing as a Republican judge or a Democratic judge. We just have judges in this country.
I'm just looking for something that would indicate that you would give a worker a fair shot.
I've written 2,700, I participated in 2,700 opinions over 10 and a half years. And if you want cases where I've ruled for the little guy as well as the big guy, there are plenty of them, Senator.
How have your views of marriage equality changed, if at all, since the 2004 election?
Senator, my personal views, if I were to begin speaking about my personal views on this subject, which every American has views on, would send a misleading signal to the American people that
it's settled law.
It is absolutely settled law.
There are a whole bunch of questions that have been asked today that are really asking you to take your legal career and your legal ethics and set them aside and play politician on TV today. And that really isn't your job. And some of this questioning really hasn't been a fruitful use of our time. It's well-meaning to talk about the outcome objectives of a whole bunch of these cases, but I would submit that it's dead wrong. I want to give you just a couple of the questions we've heard earlier today. At different times, how can we have confidence that you won't be for the big guy? At another point, how can we know that you feel for the little guy? This sounds noble, but it's fundamentally a corruption of what the judge's job is.
Now, interesting also in yesterday's confirmation hearing, he criticized anyone who criticizes federal judges. Last night, though, President Donald Trump, then in a clear shot at Gorsuch, said he's going to continue criticizing judges. All right, let's go to our panel right now. Dr. Jason Johnson, of course, with The Root also, a professor. We also have Spencer Overton, of course, who is with us, Joint Center for Political Economic Studies, Rena Shabara, Republican political strategist and consultant as well. So, folks, look at the testimony yesterday. It was somewhat of a love fest, Jason. I don't see Democrats, especially those red state Democrats, voting against him.
No, they're not going to. And their chance to do something about this was last year when President Obama could have just put Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court and he didn't do it. So they're going to scream and they're going to pout. I don't even think they're going to filibuster again. And Gorsuch's going to get on the Supreme Court. And he's going to support Donald Trump's travel ban. He's going to support everything else Donald Trump wants to do. And the fact that he's charismatic last night and nobody wants to ask him any tough questions is an example of the lack of backbone Democrats in the Senate have.
The reality is no Democrat got a good dig on Gorsuch. I mean, nobody got that slam dunk hit and really nailed him. So I think it's going to be a good one here. This is looking good for the Republicans. One marked difference, though, that there was not much mention of Trump, not much saying that, hey, Trump, great job nominating this guy. I think he's going to be better for the Republican Party than people think. Of course, he's a fill-in for Scalia, but generally, this guy is widely accepted across a number of people in the Republican Party. And as we know, there are many factions in the party, but people like him. So I think Democrats are going to have a hard time.
Gorsuch is smooth. You know, he is going to end up being another Scalia here or Thomas. What's amazing to me, Roland, is the lack of discipline in terms of Trump. Like, Gorsuch hits it out of the park. Just, you know, be silent, be quiet, sit back, let it happen, let the process happen, as opposed to having to reply to everything, to respond to everything. Amazing.
One of the things that also jumps out at me when you look at that hearing there, Jason's point, I mean, it was, like I say, being a love fest, and he was very folksy. Mm-hmm. And again, that was performance art as opposed to what's the substance.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm sure Hitler gave out Halloween candy, right? But it doesn't mean that he was a nice guy. And at the end of the day, look, you have to look, I think the issue is the Democrats aren't making enough of a fight, even though they know they don't have the numbers. They're not making a big enough fight of this. They're getting calls from their constituents saying, I want you to drag this man over everything. I thought that yesterday, one of the most key questions was when Al Franken was saying, hey, where are your stances on gay marriage? Seeing as though you were working in Ohio in 2004 when they had an anti-gay, and he danced around it, he did a soft shuffle, he backpedaled in Running Man and everything else like that. That's the kind of thing that I think Democrats should focus on more, policy, not just personnel.
Rena, real quick.
One thing that stuck out to me was that he was asked if Trump ever asked him to overturn Roe v. Wade. And he said, no, I would have walked out the room if Trump asked me that. I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah, but he also said it's settled, but I guarantee you, if that comes back up, settle goes out of the window. Hold tight before we come back, folks. The calling for resignation for the Philadelphia DA after he was yesterday charged in federal corruption scandal. We'll break that down for you as well. 15 after the hour, News One Now on TV One.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
A federal jury has awarded $10.2 million to the family of an Oklahoma Army veteran who died in a Tulsa jail cell in 2011. Elliot Williams was left in a medical unit cell with a broken neck and injury he suffered while in custody, begging for food and water for over 2 days before dying from his injuries. In this surveillance footage, Elliot lay naked and immobile. Guards are seen tossing food into his cell outside his reach. According to officials, this was done because jail staff members thought Williams was faking paralysis and they wanted to catch him moving. According to the attorney for Elliot Williams' estate, the Army vet was left suffering in his cell for 51 hours, covered in feces and urine and begging for help. Police arrested Elliot Williams in October 2011 while he was having a mental breakdown at a motel. Joey Meek was sentenced Tuesday to 27 months in federal prison for not telling authorities what he knew about his friend's plan to commit the Charleston, South Carolina massacre 2 years ago. Meek says 22-year-old Dylan Roof told him in a drunken stupor that he planned to commit a hate crime against black people. Days later, on June 17, 2015, Roof killed 9 people at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston. Meek told reporters 2 years ago that he didn't believe Roof at the time.
I didn't believe him, but it happened. He said there was a 6-month plan, but he didn't say in specific details. I mean, it's just what I mean. He had it in his mind, and he didn't really let nobody know.
Meek is now being charged with concealing knowledge of a felony and then making false statements to the FBI, faces 27 months in prison. Hip-hop icon Wyclef Jean found himself in handcuffs early Tuesday morning after LAPD officers mistook him for a robbery suspect.
Did you give him the address to the studio? But this is, just so y'all know, I am going to shoot you because you took off
this
my hat, you put the cuffs on me.
I'm just letting you know. We're at 1102 Camarillo Street.
LA right now, coming from the studio with T Baby, and y'all see the police have handcuffs on me. They just took off my Haitian bandana. That's what's going on right now with Wyclef in LA right now. The LAPD have me in cuffs for absolutely nothing.
Yeah, according to authorities, it took approximately 6 minutes to determine Wyclef Jean wasn't involved in any crime. Los Angeles sheriff's officials have apologized but claimed they were justified in stopping the musician because his car and clothes were similar to the robbery suspects they were pursuing. The controversial statue of Supreme Court Justice Roger Taney has finally been removed from the grounds of City Hall in Frederick, Maryland. The bust had been at City Hall since 1931 in honor of Taney, known for his 1857 Dred Scott decision, where he declared that blacks could not be U.S. citizens, whether they were slaves or not. City officials say the statue will be relocated to Mount Oliver Cemetery. Folks, Johns Hopkins Medical School is getting a big dose of black girl magic. Nancy Abubansra will become the first black woman to hold a neurosurgery residency at the prestigious medical program. Bansra announced her historic move March 17th on the school's website. All right, folks, still ahead on News 1 Now. In Arkansas, the governor signs a bill that gives Martin Luther King Jr. his own holiday for the first time since 1985. And a Confederate gets the boot. Plus, in Philadelphia, its first African-American district attorney is in disgrace this morning. Seth Williams faces a 23-count indictment, and there are calls for his resignation. All of that next, News 1 Now on TV 1.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
All right, folks, Arkansas made history yesterday as Governor Asa Hutchinson signed a bill giving the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. his very own holiday. It's about damn time! That's because in 1985, Arkansas voted to combine the birthdays of Dr. King with that of the traitor, Confederate General Robert E. Lee. The thinking at the time was that both were born in January, so they combined the holidays. Really, that was the thinking? That was the thinking. Okay. Grinning Arkansas Governor Hutchinson signed the bill into law yesterday after it was passed by lawmakers earlier this month.
I think this legislation giving Martin Luther King Jr. his own day is important for the state of Arkansas.
The bill separating Lee and King passed after 2 years of similar efforts failed before a legislative panel because critics said it made light of the state's proud Confederate heritage. The governor, he's happy about it. Let's go to our panel here real quick, folks. So, can we just cut to the chase? You combined them because you didn't want a black man having his own holiday, and you combined it with a racist, traitorous general in Lee.
Every single time a black person does something special, whether it was Steve McNair and Peyton Manning, whether it's Moonlight and La La Land, they always find a way to stick some white person in there and take the shine away. The fact that they're doing something that should have been handled 25 to 30 years ago, I don't give them a tremendous amount of credit. It's about time, move on. There's plenty of other things they can do in Arkansas.
It's sort of like I wasn't giving Governor Nikki Haley credit for signing the law, taking down the Confederate flag. It only took 9 black folks being killed in a church for it to happen.
It's like exactly. Chris Rock, something you should have done anyway, right?
Well, I mean, look, 32 years later, still, this is a very good thing because this enjoyed a lot of bipartisan support in both chambers of the Arkansas legislature, 24-0 in the Senate, 66-11 in the House. That's good. So, people are changing their minds.
Now, I agree with you. This is an important first step, right? Robert E. Lee's birthday was moved to October, and you do have to ask a question. Why honor him in the first place?
So they separated it, but they're still honoring the traitor.
Osama bin Laden, would we have a holiday for him? Timothy McVeigh, would we have a holiday for him?
I'm sure some people do.
It's troubling. Mississippi and Alabama still celebrate on the same day, though. This is true.
That's sad. As Spencer said, I don't think you give people credit for stuff they should have done all along. And by the way, just like with Nikki Haley, fine, take care of the flag, change a holiday. How about some health care? How about some police reform? You know, these kinds of symbolic, performative things that are done by these Southern governors don't change the day-to-day experiences of African-Americans and poor people in that state.
Behind the headlines of this, the bill that the governor signed does provide for a statewide policy on educating Arkansas's children in their schools for the first time ever there in the state history about the Civil War, and also extends to educating about Martin Luther King and the history of civil rights. I think that's...
That would entail and who's responsible for putting together that curriculum is the issue.
Right.
Because he
is going to be Roland's curriculum. These absolutely racist fools, especially those who were illiterate, were convinced that they should fight for slavery even though they were broke and dumb. And then they chose to do so. And then it had nothing to do with states' rights, had nothing to do with taxation. It had to do with the fact that free labor was making America the greatest economic superpower. Kids, lesson is over. That's the lesson.
True.
And what kills me, though, is these people who still go, that's our heritage. Shut up. Because the reality is this here, in American history, it was the same General Lee, and I had to explain this to one of those dumb fools at one of those Confederate rallies that was in Virginia. They were standing up with the flag. I said, can any of y'all read? And I then said, now the same General Lee, when the war was over, when they surrendered because they got their butt kicked, told his Confederate troops to furl the flag and store it in your attics and never to bring it out again because it was a symbol of treason. It disappeared for two generations. Mm-hmm. It reappeared in American society in 1948 when they had, in Mississippi, when they had, Spencer, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say 1947 is when they brought Robert E. Lee back to basically push against desegregation, right? And that's the reason this Confederate flag came back.
Precisely.
To push against desegregation.
Right, so all these folks out here who talk about that's our history, no, that flag disappeared for two generations and it was only brought back out because of civil rights.
Right.
That was the whole reason. Now, that's what happens when you, a black man who can read, which they didn't want to happen during slavery. Sorry. We can read now. All right, let's go to Philadelphia where the first African-American DA, Seth Williams, boy, hit with federal corruption charges yesterday. He's been fleeing questions from the media for months, now indicted on 23 counts, including bribery, extortion, and fraud. Yesterday, the U.S. Attorney for New Jersey, the FBI, and the IRS unveiled a 50-page indictment accusing him of accepting luxury travel and other gifts like a free couch. Dude, really? I mean, okay, I'm sorry. For offering to fix criminal cases, his charity, the Second Chance Foundation, is also being investigated by the FBI.
Today, Seth Williams stands indicted on several federal charges. As the indictment alleges, Mr. Williams was willing to compromise his position of public trust in exchange for private financial gain. And that allegation is even more unfortunate, given the fact that he was elected to protect the interests of the people of Philadelphia as their chief law enforcement officer.
We followed the money by tracking numerous financial transactions. As a result of our collective efforts, Williams has been charged with bribery, extortion, and honest service fraud, among other charges. These charges stem from Williams receiving concealed benefits from local business owners in exchange for performing official acts for these businessmen. The benefits include paid travel, money, and other things of value. Williams also misappropriated money that was intended for the care of a relative at a nursing home. Instead of using this money as intended, he spent the entire amount for his own personal benefit.
All this comes a month after Williams said he wouldn't seek a third term as Philly's top prosecutor. He offered an apology for his behavior in September.
I made a mistake in not reporting gifts from very close friends and very close family. And because of that, you know, I sincerely and humbly apologize.
I'm making a lot. Joining us by phone from Philadelphia, Vincent Thompson, local news and political correspondent for WURD 900 AM radio. Vincent, how are folks reacting in Philadelphia to the DA being hit with corruption charges?
Well, I mean, they're angry and sad, especially in the African-American community, because Seth was the first African-American district attorney. He was elected in started serving in January 2010, and according to the 23-count indictment, his wave of corruption started almost within months after getting in office. And I think the one thing, other than the things that you announced, that kind of took the breath out of me when I went to the press conference yesterday, was Williams is also allegedly accused of taking money from his own mother, draining more than $20,000 of Social Security and pension income intended to pay for her nursing home to cover his personal mortgage and electricity bills. Now, if you are the first district attorney, you can't do that kind of stuff. So, I mean, a lot of black folks elected him hoping that things would change in the criminal justice system in our city, you know, that there would be a man that looked like us, that understood the issues that we were coming from, that would tip the scales of justice a little bit fairer. But in many ways, Seth got corrupted by the system he was trying to protect. It's a sad day.
And not only that, they also have text messages where he pretty much was telling a businessman there in Philadelphia, hey, next time you get in trouble or need something, give me a week to be able to look into it. And then he I guess in one of the text messages, he said, I'm just a poor beggar, if you will, and I thank you for your assistance by giving him a trip to the Dominican Republic. I mean, they got the dude with text messages.
Oh, yeah, it's a damning indictment. I mean, if you read it, it's a damning indictment. I was joking that it seems like the only time you and I speak, Roland, is when there's a Philadelphia politician being indicted. The last time we spoke was when former Congressman Shaka Fatah was indicted and convicted. I mean, I don't know if it's something in our water, but I just want to let the citizens know that the 1.5 million Philadelphians are good people. It just seems like our politicians, whether they're white or black, few of them go astray. It's just, the media was just sitting there kind of gassed because we had known that he was being investigated by the FBI for not reporting thousands of dollars in income. But the fact that, you know, that he did this, I mean, even I, and I've covered politics in Philly a long time, this even stunned me.
Well, first, don't worry about it because I've called Rochelle Riley, the Detroit Free Press, a lot more than you when it comes to folks being indicted.
You're right about that.
She's got about 10 more cases of lead on you. You only called twice on it. Vincent, we appreciate it. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, folks. Real quick, going on our panel here. Okay, in this text message, all I'm saying is, if you're going to cheat, you don't self-incriminate.
Look, Kwame Kilpatrick is looking at this saying, what a dummy. Okay, like, that's how bad this is. It's like, how can you're using text messages, you're stealing from your own mama. That means you can't win the PR battle.
No, we
need a higher quality of corrupt politicians if we're going to keep doing getting to these positions.
You can't tell you right now. It ain't like Paul Manafort getting $10 million a year to help Putin out and then funneling your money elsewhere.
These were luxury items. I mean, the man obviously enjoyed a good life. This is the end. This was the result of a two-year investigation into his finances.
Roof and a couch.
What? No. Sideline tickets at the Eagles games, all this fun stuff. What is this? This is justice for sale in the DA's office. This is disgusting. It's sick. We need more servant leaders. We need Democrats to really turn the page in Philly. Sorry.
Lack of elected officials. They just need to be cleaned. I mean, people are going to be looking for you. The message is, if you're a black elected official, you need to be clean. Also, this notion of trinkets, watches, etc. Hey, get a job in the private sector that is important to you.
And look, that's the real deal there. And I'll tell you this, and I have talked to numerous political folks. Here is the fundamental issue. And that is, it's no different than people who are in our business. By virtue of what you do, you are associating with individuals of means. You don't live in their world. Mm-hmm. You're only in their world by virtue of what you do.
Right.
You don't have their money. And so, yes, they see the vacation homes. They see all of those pieces there. And to your point, if you want that, have your spouse or somebody else go get one of those high-paying jobs. Right. But when you're a public servant, that ain't gonna fly.
And there are other ways to exert power, right? This notion of building black businesses, this notion of expanding the workforce, having a group of young black elected officials. I understand, but again, that is real power and not just trinkets.
Real quick.
And there's a sloppiness to it because, again, you can probably get tickets. There's things you can get that you can get away with. What you can't do is get couches. What you can't do is get these are tangible things that you can get busted for. Every party invite and concert ticket you could probably justify.
10 seconds.
What's this mean for black DAs? We've got a movement across the country to try to have black DAs. Does this compromise it? Does it buy into the police union narrative that these black folks are corrupt and they shouldn't be here, this kind of birth of a nation? Narrative.
Well, you see the attack on Marilyn Mosby in Baltimore. You see the sister Maris Ayala in Florida who says she's not going to move forward on any death penalty cases. And Governor Rick Scott pulls her off that particular case. And so here's a concern. Of course, we lost Ken Thompson in Brooklyn.
Right.
Then, of course, you had the sister who was elected there in Cook County, Chicago. So we'll see there. Folks, when we come back, we will talk about Shots Fired, new show coming up on Fox. Next up, Reggie Rock Bythewood, Stephon James. Next, News One Now, TV One.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
Tonight, 8 p.m. on Fox, the new TV show Shots Fired will premiere. It is, of course, the byproduct of Reggie Rock Bythewood, his wife, director Gina Prince Bythewood. I had a chance to sit down with Reggie Rock as well as Stephon James to talk about the show. Check it out.
A tragedy has come to Gate Station, the town I grew up in.
A young college student has been killed. And when there are questions, I want answers. I have personally reached out to the Department of Justice and asked for an outside prosecutor to ensure an impartial investigation into this matter. And Sheriff Platt agrees. He, too, wants to make sure that trust remains between law enforcement and the community.
What trust?
Yes, ma'am. I would like to introduce Preston Terry, who will answer any questions.
Mr. Terry, thank you.
Is there any video of the shooting or any witnesses?
No video has surfaced as of yet. No witnesses have come forward, but it's still early in the investigation.
Can you confirm that the name of the officer is Joshua Benn?
We're not releasing his name at this time.
But he is black.
I'm not at liberty to say.
We've all seen the cell phone footage. The officer is black. The victim is white.
What I don't understand is why you're here. All the murdering of unarmed black men by police across this country, and this is the one that the government is investigating.
Folks, that was a clip from the new Fox show Shots Fired, a 10-hour series which stars Shanaa Lathan, Stephon James, Helen Hunt, and Richard Dreyfuss. It is from the co-creators, Reggie Bythewood and his wife, Gina Prince Bythewood, you know, from Love and Basketball. Folks, Stephon and Reggie are here with us. Gentlemen, glad to have you here. So what's interesting is that you're taking what's happening in real life in terms of all of these different police shootings and cases happening across America, and you're putting a fictional lens on it, but you're drawing from truth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in many ways, this show was inspired probably back in July of 2013. I was sitting with my oldest boy, who was 12 at the time, and we watched the Zimmerman verdict come in, and he was crushed when Zimmerman was found not guilty. And instead of consoling and hugging him, you know, pulled open a laptop and had him watch an Emmett Till documentary. And we started talking about how the criminal justice system works, or in some cases doesn't work, in a society. And it was also around that time that we started working on a film project in this arena. But Fox came to us and asked if we wanted to do something in this space, and so we felt like we had so much to say about this that we just jumped at the opportunity.
Before we go to Stephon, here's another clip from the show.
I'll have what he's having.
It's just orange juice.
So you just assume I'm a drinker?
Educated guess.
I'm sort of offended. You could throw some vodka in there. Your speech surprised me today.
You don't know me well enough to be surprised.
You're right. You and I, we need to find our rhythm. Right now, we're just butting heads.
Yeah, well, you're the one banging. You judge too quickly.
I was police, that's what we do.
You judged me too quickly. I'm not a seller.
Did I call you one?
You called me their boy.
Fine. Fine, I apologize. I also thought you were gay. Sorry for that too, I guess.
Now, why would you think that?
Because I got nothing from you when we first met.
Yeah, well, maybe you're not my type.
I'm every guy's type.
So, Stephon, you have this show, you know, based in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Racial tension is strong.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, when in real life, when feds get involved, that's a sense of relief, but it's not necessarily a sense of relief in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know what, for us, we obviously try to explore many different relationships, mainly the relationship between law enforcement and these communities, particularly the black community. So, you know, we show where, you know, having police, you know, show up to a scene, you know, sometimes doesn't make people feel safer. It doesn't make people feel better. In fact, sometimes it makes them feel more scared, more worried, like they need more people around to make sure that, you know, things are being watched and that they're safe. So it's an interesting perspective, I think, that we take in this show.
Reggie, we were at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention. Mm-hmm. I moderated a panel with you, Gina, and Shanaa as well, and we actually saw the first episode. And this also isn't just an examination of the community's feelings, you also are showing a perspective of law enforcement as well.
We are. I mean, you know, one of the things that was really amazing about our process is that we researched it very heavily. So while we researched it with a lot of people from the community who were affected by certain issues, you know, we did talk to a lot of law enforcement. You know, for Stephon's character, and specifically, we spoke with, you know, former Attorney General Eric Holder, and who really helped us in terms of, like, really figuring out the landscape. It was also very helpful in us shaping Stephon's character. And I think even what the show speaks to is, like, this need for just a Department of Justice that actually serves the people.
Stefan, when you think about these real life cases and they're still ongoing, yeah. whether somebody was shot, whether it's the case out of Fort Worth where the mother and her two daughters were arrested, yeah. She was almost tased. I mean, you have real friction. You have real concern here when it comes to folks who say, I'm fearful that if I walk out that door, I might lose my life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing about shots is it takes place in a very real, real world. You know, we're not making something up. You know, in fact, while we were shooting this thing in North Carolina, these, you know, police shootings were continuously happening. When you look at, you know, Philando Castile or, you know, Sterling, you know, I think that these things, it wasn't hard for us to find some sort of inspiration, because we were living in these times, and we're still living in these times where these problems are affecting many, many of us. So for us, it wasn't something that we had to make up. It was a very real feeling. Every day we went to work, these things were happening on a daily basis. So we were just, you know, putting it into an art form in order to sort of, you know, aid into healing and sort of giving a different perspective to people who may not see the other side.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we had so many real life cases to draw from. So we were actually in production when that particular incident happened. It really, you know, there were a lot of incidents that really affected our cast and writing staff in very, you know, serious ways. And in terms of writing it, one of the things that was important, you know, it's not a documentary, and we wanted to, you know, we have a creed, which is basically to get the audience at the edge of their seats, and while they're leaning forward, hit them with the truth. So we're actually an entertaining show. We have like a very, you know, serious murder mystery that people are going to lean into and try to figure it out. Roland, the last time I worked on Fox was New York Undercover, so we kind of still have the same element of music, and ultimately what we hope is that we entertain people and raise their consciousness without people even knowing it's coming.
And as in all of the films, Beyond the Lights, Love and Basketball, you name it, music plays an integral part of anything Gina does.
Right. You're right. Yeah, Gina, who co-created this with me and also directed the first hour of the pilot.
Who should be here, Gina. I had to say that. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, music is a big part of our storytelling. First of all, we have Terrence Blanchard, who's our composer, who's just one of the greats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at times we use top 40 music, but at other times we create what we kind of consider top 40 music. And so, you know, the music has been a big part of the storytelling. And you know, it's just been a really great way to kind of do this narrative with all these elements together. You know, our cast is phenomenal. One of the reasons why we were so excited to cast Stefan is just this level of, like, subtlety that your character brings to it. You know, he has an arc, like where he starts off in the pilot is totally different than we're gonna see him in hour 10. You know, we say, you know, for us, we consider this a 10-hour film. You know, so we don't even say episodes. If you said episodes on our staff and our writers room, you'd be in trouble, you know? So it was a 10-hour film for us. It was really great to be able to just like, almost like dissect, like give an autopsy on a town, sort of like Ferguson or something, and just kind of look at it from various points of view and not have to kind of encapsulate it within 90 minutes or 2 hours.
Now, Stefan, normally when you have one of these films,
yeah,
you have the hard-edged male character, and then the female character is the one who's bringing compassion. That's a little opposite this time.
A little bit.
The alpha male here is Sanaa.
Pretty much. No, she, you know, she comes into the situation definitely thinking she's my boss, and you know, I feel the same way. I'm this young, hungry lawyer that just, you know, he just finished his first case with the Department of Justice, and you know, this is number two. This is really his moment to shine when the governor, played by Helen Hunt, calls him in. So, you know, there's a little bit of that back and forth, a little battling. But I think what's interesting about both of our characters is essentially we want the same thing. You know, Sanaa, her character Ash, and my character Preston, we want justice for these two boys that we find out have been unjustly murdered. So, you know, it boils down to that common denominator.
All right. Shots fired. Airs when?
March 22nd, 8 p.m.
All right. Gentlemen, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right, y'all. When we come back, Wild Night Wednesday with our comedians in the house. Let's see who actually came here dressed to kill and who looked like a fake John Shaft. That's next, News 1 Now TV.
Your centerpiece for black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
All right, y'all, Wild Out Wednesday. Let's get right to it. Our comedians we have from right here in America. He's so happy because he ain't going back home, or Trump ain't gonna let him back into the country. We got the fake John Schaff here, Dulo. What's happening? Yo, I hit him with that going to break. He's like, talking about me. Talking about me.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy Dulo, man. Good morning, America.
Dale Harrison?
Dale Harrison representing for the fake Taraji, okay? Since everybody's being fake.
But what's up?
What is that? Listen, I brought you a new pair of earrings to fix. Last time I was here, she smuggled immigrants in them earrings.
That's right.
We got to do what we got to do.
Right. I mean,
I'm here to help America.
She's making America great.
Are we going to say move?
Are we going to say move?
Okay, anyway, we got Kyle Morgan down there.
What you got to say?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, you got the shirt and the pocket square going.
This is my get out outfit.
I was a little afraid
to wear the hat because I was like, they're gonna be calling the rolling and saying, is that a white man trapped in a black man's body? So I'm gonna take the hat off.
I don't want you getting the phone. Leave the hat off.
I tried to shake his hand earlier, man. He gave me the fist. I tried to give him a fist bump.
I got a flashback to Fantasy Island with that hat on. Yeah, man, we going to the islands with that bond.
Well, you know I had to bring spring in. You know, if the girls can wear their little open-toe shoes and their feet ain't done, I figure I can let the chest hairs flow out
a little bit. And I like the outfit.
I like the outfit. You are coordinated. You're cowhide earrings on. That's right.
It has a little bit of glitter on this side. Let's not forget that. What does that say on this side?
You know
what's
what?
The writing? What's the
name? No, hold on.
Hieroglyphics. Look like papyrus.
Dale, you have kids.
No, well, I do got.
Are you sure?
Two honorary kids.
You got two honorary kids. That was a class project. Don't even lie. You one of your kids made that as a class project.
Listen.
I wish this was my mom day, and said, made them earrings. Look at them. I mean,
they got little hieroglyphics on it. Little glitter. Come on, show the glitter.
First of all,
what is written on the side of your earrings?
Mew Mew. Shout out to Monica in Brooklyn. Mew Mew. Shout out to Monica.
What's that say? It says me juju.
Like juju. That's
you can't even. She can't read, y'all.
It says me juju.
I haven't seen him in so long. I just wear the earrings. That say juju on that. Y'all, that say me juju. It says me juju in Africa. Let me see this.
That means my juju.
What does that mean?
Juju is like voodoo. Juju. And the fact that this is from leather. I don't know.
You give me my daggone voodoo.
I need to borrow that hat, brother. I'm going fishing later.
First of all, these are my Donald Trump protectors.
Hold on.
Donald Trump protectors?
Yes, that's right. Hey, bro, listen, man. Somebody gave me a hug yesterday.
So you've been wearing that jacket since yesterday?
This is my lucky jacket, brother. I wore this yesterday, yes, and it's okay. Did you not wear it?
What luck did it bring you?
Plenty of luck, man. Lucky down the
like
one, I'm here. Lonnie called me yesterday. I'm moving to California soon. I got a tour starting. All right, it's my opportunity. I got a tour starting April 1st, FAMU.
April 8th. Awesome.
I'll be at University of Miami, Ohio. This is my point.
That's two places. That's not a tour.
April.
It needs to be at least five or six. I got eight or nine.
You have eight or nine, man.
Ooh, well,
exactly.
We're moving on up, man.
So we're ending in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Okay, on the 7th of May. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So please check it out.
Follow me. Kyle, what you doing?
I'm going to be in child support court in Virginia on April the 3rd. Then I got to follow up in Greensboro child support court on April the 4th. Then I'll be back here in D.C. on April the 5th, child support court again. So y'all pray my strength.
How many children do you have, brother? Pull out game week.
I got three by three.
Three by three.
And they watch it. Hey, kids.
You got a little
y'all
so they know they making money. So
Your kids, what, they in school?
They got phones and stuff. You know, they watch. This is not a live stream.
It's a live stream?
No, it's not.
I didn't think it was a live stream.
No, it's not.
I'm going to be at Parks Casino. Thanks so much.
Parks Casino. What state is that in?
That's in Philadelphia.
All right.
I'm going to be at Parks Casino. I'm also going to be on Up Late TV show every week. Watch me hosting.
What?
Up Late TV show. It's my digital web series where I talk all the crap and catch up with all the...
Where can we see it?
On YouTube.
At Stadium.
You can see it online.
Up late. I'm not...
Excuse, don't follow offend me on Instagram, at Stadium Clap after I took off of your outfit.
Follow me on Instagram.
What?
At IMDULO.
Are y'all done? Are y'all done?
Yeah.
We had a moment.
Yeah. I mean, because y'all having a conversation. He's talking to himself.
I'm talking to
And so I'm trying to figure out.
Her earrings was offending me.
You know what? Now your outfit is offending me. How dare? After I took off of you and gave you the coordinates.
Y'all, I got to go to the break because clearly they are residing in the sunken place. I'll be back in 60 seconds. News 1 Now, TV 1.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number 2, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
How's y'all cover? Where y'all performing? How can folks reach you?
You can reach me at IAMDULO. That's Facebook. That's Instagram and Twitter. IAM. D-U-L-O, that's your boy Dulo.
What cow pasture can we reach you in, Dale?
You can reach me in cow pastures and farms all over the country and in comedy clubs. See me at IAMDEL Harrison, IAMDEL Harrison. I'm coming to a town near you. Always coming to a town near you.
Okay, Mr. Jamaica, what you got?
You can find me on www.iamkaimorgan, KHAIMORGAN.com.
Okay, gotcha. All right. So he ain't got social media. He's still going back to the website.
I got that too.
All right, y'all.
The website as well.
All right, y'all. Birthday shout out time. Actress Kelly Williams from Family Matters turns 41. Comedian actor Keegan-Michael Key turns 46. Stephanie Mills turns 60 tomorrow. Yes. News 1 9. We'll talk health care. I got to go. Lord, these earrings. Holla.
Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin.